This show is brought to you by Safety FM.
Welcome to the Mind Growth podcast series from Learning Teams Inc. as part of their Hop into Action program. This series is supported by the best-selling book series, The Hop Beginner's Guide to Doing Safety Differently, available on Amazon Books in print and Kindle formats. On today's episode, a safety leader and a new hire talk about the role of error, blame, and performance modes in Hop, and explore how a decision-making in the three different performance modes can be viewed in what makes work go well and the role of error. So please grab your favorite beverage, sit back and listen now to this episode about the role of error, blame, and the performance modes.
Hi, Sarah. Do you have a few minutes? I wanted to ask you something about human error and how we deal with it here.
Of course, Jake. Come in and take a seat. What's on your mind?
Well, I've been reading up on human error and the different ways people make mistakes, and the notion of error traps. I'm curious about how we handle mistakes here, especially when it comes to who gets blamed. How do we know when to hold someone accountable for an error?
That's an excellent question, Jake, and it's something we take very seriously here. You see, the way we approach human error is a bit different from the traditional blame culture. Let me start by saying that everyone makes mistakes. It's a natural part of being human.
I get that, but if mistakes happen, doesn't someone need to be held accountable and be responsible moving forward?
Yes. Responsibility is important, but it's crucial to differentiate between responsibility and blame. When we talk about accountability here, we're focusing on understanding the causes of the error, how it made sense to the person at the time, and how we can improve our processes and systems to prevent it from happening again. We don't jump to blame because blame doesn't solve the problem. It often makes it worse by discouraging people from being open about mistakes.
So, if someone makes a mistake, how do you decide what went wrong?
Well, we look at errors through the lens of performance modes, the three different ways people operate based on their familiarity with the task and the situation's complexity. Understanding these performance modes helps us pinpoint why an error occurred without placing blame on the individual, and how to focus on the systemic drivers and drive improvements for work to go well.
Oh, that is new to me. Can you walk me through those performance modes?
Absolutely. Let's start with skill-based performance mode. This mode is where people operate almost on autopilot because they've done a task so many times it becomes second nature. Think of it like driving a familiar route to work. Your body just knows what to do and your mind might wander elsewhere. But this also means you might make a slip, like taking the wrong exit because you were deep in thought.
Hey, I've definitely done that before. So in that case, it's not really about being careless, right?
Exactly. It's not carelessness. It is not about inattention or being distracted. It's how our brains are wired to handle routine tasks. Let me give you an example of when skill-based performance leads to success. Think of Anna, an experienced bicycle courier navigating a busy city. Her ability to anticipate traffic and react quickly without conscious thought allowed her to avoid an accident with a child who suddenly ran into the street. Her skill-based performance wasn't just about avoiding error, it was about being successful because of her ingrained expertise.
That's impressive. She didn't even have to think about it. It just happened because of her skill and experience.
Right. And that's the key with skill-based performance. When people are highly trained and experienced, their actions are often automatic, leading to successful outcomes. But the same mode can also result in errors, such as if they haven't done that work for a while. However, the baseline error rate of 1 in 1,000 is still better than the rule-based performance mode.
Okay, this is good, and starting to make sense. What about when someone is following rules, but still makes a mistake?
Okay. That brings us to the rule-based performance mode. This mode kicks in when we're following established procedures or guidelines. Imagine you're assembling a piece of furniture using a manual. You're following the steps, but if the instructions aren't clear or you misinterpret a step or even miss a step, you might make an error.
Oh yeah, been there many times. Like if the manual says to use a certain screw, but you grab the wrong one because they all look similar.
Exactly. Or let's say you're working on a project and following a safety protocol, but the situation changes. Like the weather, for instance. And the rules don't account for this new variable. If you don't adjust your actions to fit the new situation, you might make an error even though you were following the rules. But let's look at a successful application of rule-based performance. Think of Emma, a systems engineer in a power facility. One day, during a heat wave, the grid was nearing its capacity. An alarm went off, indicating a potential overload. Emma immediately followed the emergency procedures, rules ingrained in her through emergency scenario training. By adhering to these rules, she successfully prevented a citywide blackout. Her ability to follow the rules precisely under pressure led to a positive outcome. And the base error rate in this performance mode is 1 in a 100.
Oh, so following the rules can really save the day if they're the right rules for the situation.
Exactly. But it's also important to recognize when the rules might not be enough or need adjusting. We saw that with Emma's success, but sometimes strict adherence to rules without considering the context can lead to mistakes, especially in unique or rapidly changing situations.
I see. So, what happens when there aren't any clear rules to follow?
That's where the knowledge-based performance mode comes into play, or as Rob Fisher says, gap in knowledge mode. This performance mode is used when someone encounters a new situation that they haven't dealt with before. They must rely on their knowledge, problem-solving skills, and reasoning to figure out what to do.
That sounds challenging. What if they make a mistake in that situation?
It is challenging. And it's also where mistakes are more likely to happen. The base rate in this performance mode is 1 in 2 to 1 in 10. Let's say you're dealing with a completely new piece of machinery that's malfunctioning. There's no manual or clear procedure to follow, so you have to troubleshoot on the fly. If your solution doesn't work, it's a knowledge-based error. But again, the focus isn't on blaming you for the mistake. It's on understanding what happened, why the error occurred, and how we can support you better in the future, by improving work design or conditions to make sure work goes well. Now let's consider a successful outcome in a knowledge-based performance scenario. Marcus, a construction manager, encountered an unexpected delay in receiving a critical component for a building. Rather than halting the project, he used his knowledge and creativity to devise a temporary solution using locally available materials. This allowed the project to stay on schedule, and when the original component finally arrived, the transition was seamless. Marcus's ability to innovate and solve a problem in real time ensured the project's success. When you see someone scratching their head or saying things like, "I think so," these are clear signs of being in knowledge-based performance mode.
Hey, that's really something. He had to think on his feet and came up with a solution that worked even without a clear guide to follow.
Exactly. Knowledge-based performance is about navigating the unknown, and while it carries a higher risk of error, it also offers opportunities for innovation and success. The key is to provide people with the knowledge and tools they need, and to create an environment where they can safely experiment and learn from their experiences.
So, the key is to understand the context of the error and not just jump to conclusions about who's to blame.
Exactly, Jake. Blame is often a knee-jerk reaction, but it doesn't help us learn or improve. In fact, it can make things worse by discouraging openness and learning. Instead, we ask questions like, was the person in a skill-based, rule-based, or knowledge-based mode? What were the conditions like? What does normal work look like? Did the system support them for work to go well? What can we change to improve the work?
Wow, I'm really starting to see how this approach is more constructive. But what happens if there's pressure from above to find someone to blame?
Well, that's a reality in many organizations, unfortunately. But here, we try to educate everyone, from frontline workers to senior leaders, about the importance of moving away from a blame culture. It's not always easy, But we found that when people understand that focusing on learning and improvement leads to better safety outcomes, they're more willing to embrace this approach, give both space and time for learning, and not blame and punish.
Well, it sounds like a much healthier way to work. I'm glad to be part of a team that values learning over blame.
We're glad to have you, Jake. Remember, mistakes are part of the learning process. What matters is how we respond to them, whether we choose to learn and grow or fall into the trap of blame. Here, we choose to learn.
It's a lot to take in, but it really makes sense. I'm definitely going to keep this in mind as I start working on projects.
You'll do great, Jake. And don't hesitate to bring up any concerns or questions as you go. We're all learning together, and that's what makes us stronger as a team.
Thanks, Sarah. I really appreciate the insight. I feel more confident about how to handle situations now.
You're welcome, Jake. Let's make sure that our work not only keeps people safe, but also helps them grow. Be curious and just listen. You will be amazed at what you will learn.